Hello, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I'm Alison Spittle, and this is me on the second last day of the fringe. My voice is going. This week's guest, we have Blaheen De Burka. She is a comedian and lady based in Dublin. She is doing a Dublin Fringe show, and it is on in Drop Dead Twice, and it's about feminism. It's a chat show called Blah Blah Blah, and it's on from the 11th to the 15th of September. And I know one of her first guests are Shauna Scott from Sex Shopper, get to the Sex Shopper. Yeah, look, I'm very, my voice is fecked. I am wrecked. Let's get on with the show.
In your podcast now in the last few days. I had listened before, but obviously
there's two podcasts.
Yeah, so true.
Which ones did you listen to?
So Maurice, I was just listening to what's her name, Roxana. She's
yeah,
a legend.
She's amazing.
She's so cool.
They're my favourites now.
There was someone else, I can't remember her name, but she was so funny. She was like real dirt. Like
oh
real
yeah.
Dirty. I like dirty women.
Nice. Jeez, I'll have to have a think about that.
Yeah, you're ooh. Like, don't know. So many of them, like, you've probably been doing this years, haven't you?
Yeah, I am doing it, like, I don't know, a fair few years, though.
Yeah.
What, like, doing it 4 years, I think.
That's a long time,
yeah,
that podcast.
It's a long time.
And it's weekly.
Bi-weekly. And
Jesus.
It has been, for the past 2 months, not a new episode, because I got a writing project. So I had to. So we're slapping them in now.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're gonna
yeah.
do it in seasons. Yeah. So then I can like.
Fair play to you. Must be wrecked though, like recording so many at once. Is
yeah, but it's grand. It's just chatting. Do you
I know. Yeah,
what
that's
mean?
True.
It's
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. That's
it.
True.
And also like yeah. So you have a podcast as well, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. It's called I Don't Know Her. It's myself
brilliant.
And Eve O'Connor.
Oh what?
Yeah.
So how did you both come? Who suggested doing the podcast?
So my friend Andy Gaffney runs the network. When mm-hmm. I say network, there's two podcasts on it. It's
what's
mine
the network
and
called?
It's called The Shift.
Right, nice.
And so Andy and I have just been friends for 1,000 years, and he's always been like my biggest fan. He's a big cheerleader. Like when he knows someone that he thinks is going to be successful, he really like bandies behind them and gives them all their love, gives them all the love and support that he can and so on. So he, for my whole life, he was like, you're so great. You're going to be a star. Like to the point where I'd be like, shush now. It's not happening yet. Like give me a chance. And so he had acquired The Shift as like the website and everything like that. And he was like, I've got this plan to make a podcast network. And I want you to be on it. I don't care what you do. You can do whatever you want. You've got free reign. Just do whatever you want. And so originally I was going to do a podcast on my own. And then I was thinking I'd prefer to do one with people. And then I was going to do like a mental health podcast.
Oh, what? Like, what was it going to consist of?
I don't know. Like, jokes about mental. I don't know. Like, I was planning on like on educating myself on lots of different mental illnesses and so on. And then chatting it out like with a funny friend. I have no idea what my structure idea was. And then
my favorite mental illness. That's
yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. And then you see, and when I met Aoife, the first night that I met Aoife, you know the I Don't Know Her meme, like the Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
So like, she said something and I was like, oh, I don't know her. And this was the first night that we'd met and she was like, oh my God. You're my people. So like, we just bonded over that phrase. And then I was like, do you want to make a podcast with me? So we just called it I Don't Know Her. And we kind of just modeled it around that.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what we were going to do. We were like, I suppose it has to have some kind of structure. It can't just be us fucking shooting the shit. Like.
And how was your friendship? How long was your friendship before you did the podcast?
Probably,
I'm interested in this.
Yeah, probably about a year. Like, it's okay. Not, it's mad. We haven't known each other that long, but we just became very close friends. I find that tends to happen with me, and especially with women. Like, I kind of, if I know that I'll get along with them, like, I'll definitely latch on, and I'll, like, not in a creepy way.
Yeah.
You're my friend now forever. But, like, I have an instinct about people, and I'll know. And then, like, I'll then be intentionally make sure that I have time for that friendship if I know that it's going to be a nice one.
Is it, like, almost like the thrill of the chase with a friendship? Like, how do you court a friend? Like,
yeah, it's hard, isn't it? In these days
it's so
as well.
Hard.
Especially at this age, like, and you kind of... Yeah. But then I suppose loads of my friends I've just been really lucky with recently. I was actually having a chat about this to my friend Fiacra recently, and he was like, blah, I just feel so lucky that you were just plopped into my life. It was Sahar, you know Sahar?
Yeah.
So she was going to Dubai, and she was like, better introduce Blahin to all my friends before
That's
I go.
So nice.
So I just gained like a new friend group in the past year.
Right.
Because Sahar was leaving, which is like ironic. I suppose she wanted to like make sure that I was looked after while she was away or whatever. I don't know, like I'm a child or a puppy. But yeah, so I'm like really good friends with all her friends now. Like Joe, I met through Sahar, and he's now producing my Fringe show and everything. Like it's wild the amount of friends that I've, and close friends that I'll have forever. That I made in the past few, like in the past year.
It's almost like a moving out sale that she had. Right?
Yeah.
There's a clearance.
Yeah. She was like, someone's got to look after these mates. And it's not going to be me. So like,
that's so lovely.
Yeah. I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky that way. And then sure, I mean, I've got, my mates that I've had forever, that I've had for 1,000 years. And
Yeah.
That are sticking around.
And what was I going to ask? With the Tri Channel, because you're on the Tri Channel, like... You've made new friends there. Like, do you hang out when you're not on camera?
We used to hang out a lot more. I made some really great friends on the Tri Channel. Like, I mean, people like George Fox. Like, he's a really close friend. I love George. And I met Damon Blake through him as well. Damon is just like salt of the earth. His sister as well, Jade. Like, and so these are people that I hopefully will have in my life like forever. I was at Claire's wedding as well, which is mad to just meet someone and then through doing some videos with her. And then she's like, do you want to come to my wedding? I'm like, yes. And that was great. So yeah, but like we don't hang out as much as I would like to these days. We're just all busy. Like, we're all thankfully, you know, doing things with our careers and stuff like that. So it's good. The Tri Channel has gotten some... I think a lot of people poo-poo the idea of the Tri Channel, and it's like, yeah, it's a silly concept. I mean, it is just... I remember one day I came home...
Explain the concept for people that might not know.
So the Tri Channel is literally just Irish people try, and then Irish people try... Like, Polish beer. Irish people try... I did a drink roulette one with Pucci in there recently. Got absolutely locked. And then we had to make Lego for the next one. There was one day I came home, and my sister was like, what was the Tri video you did today? I was there. I was just Domino's pizza. She was like, so you just had free lunch on camera, like, and people are watching that, and I'm there yet.
Yeah, but I think people get attached to the personalities.
I think so, yeah.
So like, what was it like at first for you? When you first did the Tri, before it was in a different guise. What was it called again?
The Facto. We don't speak its name.
Yeah. So Beta Tri, or Prototype Tri. So what was the... Why did you do it, and what were you... What was it for you?
Oh,
what did
God.
You see it as?
I was... Absolutely, I was so hungover one day, and I woke up and I had a text from Gareth Lyons, who is another comic.
He's very supportive.
I love Gareth.
He's lovely.
He's such a lovely
and
man.
He's a very big supporter of women in comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. And a true one level. As well. Like, not even just like paying lip service or anything. Like,
no, he puts
good
the
skin.
Work in. Like, he's a good guy.
Absolutely.
I'd say he's responsible for a good 12. I mean, they're responsible for their own.
Stop giving men credit.
I know. He's like Kevin Costner in Hidden Figures. He's such a good guy.
He is. But yeah, so I woke up to a text from him saying, here, look, I'm so sorry that I didn't text back to you last night. I wasn't out. But anyway, I'm going to go do a video now so that I have 20 euros so that I have credit to text you back next time. And I was like, cool, no problem. Like, I went and got locked anyway, so that was fine. And and he was like, he was there, yeah, I'm doing this video. Do you want to be in it with me? Like, apparently they're looking for someone to be in it. It's just like trying American candy or something.
Yeah.
So that was the first facts video ever.
Wow.
And I was in that. I've been there. And I'm a day one, an OG. And that was, it was like, yeah, they were paying us €20 and it just went viral. Like, it just went viral. It was crazy. And I remember being really pissed off when it came out because the thumbnail that they used for the video had me making like a funny face and I looked disgusting. And yeah. I was like, Jesus, lads, because you know, when, you know, like I've wanted to be famous since I was a child. Like, I love attention. And
yeah.
You know, and so I was like, so delighted that it was taken off because I didn't expect it to. I was just like, oh, just yeah. rolled into it.
YouTube is so weird though, how like the thumbnails with beautiful women making ugly faces is quite a big thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, is people it like love a... any, if people see a thumbnail of Laura making a funny face and they're just like in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's so odd.
I mean, Ozzy is gas. So.
Yeah, of course. She's Jesus. So good. So like when you say you wanted to be famous since you were a kid, like what did you specifically want to be when you were a kid? What actually, another thing, when you started Try, what would you have said your job was or your profession or what you wanted to be, do you know?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, so when I, first of all, when I was a very, 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 very young child, like 5, this is the true story. If you ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would tell you I wanted to be either a princess or a waitress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is obvious, like, one or the other. two equally valuable and important roles.
The glamour.
I think being a waitress is actually much more important and valuable now these days. See, I've got my priorities in order. I'm a big communist now. So that was very early on. And then when I kind of started to think about what I might want to do, I always wanted to be a performer in front of a camera, that kind of thing. I wanted to be a TV presenter originally.
Okay.
And, or like an actor, but I think TV presenter was the kind of way that I wanted to go. And I really wanted to be like Davina McCall, like taking the piss out of myself and others, really kind of just shooting the shit kind of thing. That was that for ages. So what that first day with the Try thing, with the facts thing, like that first video.
Let's
call it Try. There is no other channel. I definitely didn't think of that as, like, literally it was just Gareth was like, do you want to be in a video? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't think of it as like, this is my big break. But it has proved, it's definitely not been a big break or anything, but it's definitely, you know, helped
it's
to get my
face out
there.
It's changed the trajectory of your life,
I would say. 100%, like now, yeah. I mean, it's mad to be walking down the street and be recognised and people are like seriously, someone came up to me recently and said, said the words, versatile reaction video. And I went, what? And he's like, versatile reaction video. And I was like, oh yeah, I did that, yeah.
Whoa.
So he didn't even like introduce himself or say, oh, I love you on this or anything like that. He just said,
yeah,
just a thing that I was in, you know. And he was like, yeah, and the Coco logo one too. And I'm there, yeah, cool, you're just naming videos that I've been in. That's grand. I was at a festival as well, like a Knock and Stock, and I was like, are you all right, man? Like,
he's just naming out drugs.
It definitely has changed the trajectory of my life. And I think people do kind of shit in it a little bit. And I get that because it's a silly concept. Like, I mean, you know, I understand that. But it has definitely changed things for all of us on it. You know, people that are on the channel have a different, like, outlook in terms of, like, if I did a gig in the States, I could know that I could get it half full.
Yeah.
Just because I have fans there. Or, like, I mean, even when I did a fundraiser for my friend show, and people were donating money to it, and that's all people at the other side of the world.
That's like, mad. I know. That's mad that you have an audience that like is separated between
crazy
billions of liters of water.
Absolutely.
It's
wild, and like I recognize that for what it is, and I feel very privileged. You know, also it's a little annoying sometimes, you know, because you get like loads of reply guys on Twitter and creeps on the internet and so on. So I'm like,
oh, yeah. Tell me about them.
You know the other folder, like on your Instagram, you know the other messages.
Yes.
You know, like the ones that they're not your main messages. Yeah, I get people in there every day, pretty much, like every day. Men just sending hearty faces and like, you're hot. I got one recently that was a man said, I'm drinking your urine.
Oh.
I was like, you did not pay me for that, sir. So. And the annoying thing is that I want to reply and put my foot down and be like, why are you doing this? Like, what is that all about?
Yeah.
But then if I reply, then I've then I'll get notified every time that they message me. So it's better for to just leave them like in that folder. But they really do. And then like, I mean, Laura got that horrible one recently where your man had said something about her, like her mother having passed, and he was like, my condolences, I hope that you're okay. She didn't reply, obviously, because we don't owe them anything.
No.
And then a few weeks or days or whatever later, he goes, you never reply to me on this, so this won't hurt anyone, and sent her a video of him wanking.
Oh my God.
I know. Like, that's going disgusting. From, oh, sorry about your dead ma, to
yeah,
having a wank. I mean, and like,
that's assault.
It's, I agree. I posted that on Twitter, and you won't believe like the pedantry that happens on Twitter. Men replying to me saying that's not assault, and it's
what
like,
is it,
why are you getting hung up on this though? Why are you thinking? Oh, do you know what's wrong with this tweet? The wording. I definitely like not the act in the first place. And they were going, oh, he's definitely a scumbag. I'm just saying it's not assault. Why just are you correcting me? How about this? Don't correct me. Like, never correct me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It is assault, though. It is.
Yeah,
it should be.
It's assault on the senses, anyway. It's a
language can be reframed. Like, I mean, twerk is in the dictionary.
That is true. That is true.
Words can mean many things.
So, like, have the boundaries ever? What are your boundaries with people that look? Do you read the YouTube comments?
I used to. I don't anymore.
What made you stop?
I don't know. They're very mean. Like, I mean, and I have got a very tough skin, and 100% try has contributed to that, because like, I always had a tough skin. I was a very confident child.
Yeah.
I was really insecure, like every single teenage girl and so on. But like, I said, I was always kind of like aware of like my potential for stardom. I don't know. I'm talking like I'm Rachel fucking Berry from Glee. The realization that I'm Rachel Berry from Glee is a painful one. But yeah, so I always had a tough skin, and I was always kind of able to, but I was like bullied in school and everything like that, so that helped with that.
Who were you bullied by, but was it girls or boys?
It was girls for the most part. Boys kind of would do the whole like, oh, you're ginger, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
Like that's about it, you know. Girls, it was like
over your hair
and manipulative. And no, girls, it wasn't really over my hair. It was like,
I'm not asking
know.
You, sorry. Why do people...
why did people hate you? Explain it. List the reasons. And they are plenty. I don't really know. It was odd. And then some of it probably wasn't bullying. Some of it was probably just like rightful changing of friend groups or something like that, you know. But I ended up like...
But that's a cruel... That's such a horrible... that's a horrible transition.
Yeah.
Of like, I remember once I was like... in Offaly there's this underage disco called Harriers, which I'll talk to you about another time. It was just horrific.
That sounds great.
Oh, and like two of my friends texted me, were like, oh yeah, we're going to the Harriers, and do you want to come along? I was like, yeah, cool. And then they texted me later that day, and they were like, actually we're both sick, so we can't go. So like,
oh,
cool.
No.
And like, I told my mom, and she was like, do you just want to go anyway? Because I kind of like knew a lot of people. And I was like, yeah, if you give me the lift, that'd be lovely. So
yeah,
she drove me, and then the two girls were at the bus stop, all dressed up.
Oh my God.
And my mom got out of the car, and I was like, mom, get back in.
That's
she was
so horrible.
My mom was such a like power protector kind
yeah.
of thing, you know.
Fair play to her. That's
She's
nice.
She's great.
Like, Jesus. Yeah, no, similar happened to me where like I was in a big friend group with loads of mates since I was like, I had known since I was about 7 or something, some of them, you know.
Oh wow.
And
that's like communion territory.
Yeah,
that's bonding.
Yeah, they're like, I grew up around the corner from some of them, and they were really close friends, or I thought so anyway. And my boyfriend at the time, this is when I was about probably, I was in college, I think 20 or 21.
Wait, so this is a friendship that 14 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them, you know. Yeah. And it wasn't like, I mean, we had just known each other for that long. It's
yeah.
not as if like we were
yeah.
But I was in this friend group anyway. And you know, like, your friend group is your life, like, at that age.
Yeah, about,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, 19, that kind of...
It's your identity.
Yeah. And I, you know, and it was just the one friend group. I mean, I've always kind of been able to dabble in loads of different groups, but I've got my pack, like, and I think everybody's like that. And, yeah, my boyfriend at the time got onto me one day, and he was like, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but I'm after discovering a Facebook group that they had put together just a bitch about me. My picture was the profile picture, and like, it was just a bitching group just to talk about
your own friends.
My mates, like, oh, not anymore.
So what happened? Like, how did you...
I got on to one of them, and I was, because I was obviously distraught, like, I was really
yeah,
upset.
Yeah.
got onto one of them. I said, I'm after finding this group. I just want to know, is like, is this, I think there was like a post then in a different group. They had put together an event for something that they were going to do as well, and they were going to go, like, they were going to go watch the sunset somewhere, and there was in the group there was like a post saying, but don't tell herself about it, like, I don't want her to come. And I before asking about the group, that was definitely about me. I wanted to ask about that post.
And was your boyfriend at the time in that friendship?
No, he was just like, I just wanted to let you know that your mates are dicks.
Legend.
Yeah, he was a great boyfriend. He's married with two kids now.
Good for him. I'm happy. Fair play to him.
Me too. Delighted for him. That wasn't my trajectory.
You're a good person.
Yeah, that wasn't my path. He's a nice man. But I asked one of the guys in the group, and I was like, was this post about me? And he's there, sorry to tell you, but it is, blah. And I was like, yeah, and I've discovered the whole thing. Yeah, but gay men. Well, one gay man, and then some of them, yeah, actually, there was a few straight men as well. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like,
I'm so sorry for going detail.
It's fine. It's like, it's just wild. But like, I still don't know what the fucking story was there. I suppose they just didn't like me, and that's fine. You don't have to like me, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, yeah. So now I'm like dealing with that on, you know, on try. It's gas, because what really gets me, I think the reason that I stopped reading the comments is not because it was hurting my feelings. It was the double standard was annoying me. Mm-hmm. And I know that you never reply to the comments. Like, you don't want to get into a fight with a stranger on the internet for 5 hours about, like, you know, it's not going to change anything. And it was the double standards and the hypocrisy of people being like, oh, I love how Ryan is so grumpy. He hates everything. Dermot's so funny the way he hates everything. Blaine's such a cunt. She's such a grumpy cunt. Why does she hate everything?
That's so true.
Exactly. Like, it was that kind of thing. Or, you know, I was upset about kind of like appearing, even sometimes when they thought that they were being nice. So like, I'd appear, I remember the Comic-Con one was a good example where everyone was like, oh my god, Donal and John are so funny in this. Oh my god, Donal and John, so entertaining. Blaheen is so hot. And it was just kind of like always about that and not ever about how funny I was, you know? So like, one of my favorite videos that I did was American Pie, and I thought that I did a good job, that I was gassing it myself. Mm. And everyone was just talking about my tits. And I was just like, I am sick. It'll do you damage, like, to just keep on.
Well, because it'll make you second guess everything you wear then, because...
Yeah, which has kind of... There's sometimes where I thought about doubling down and just being like, yeah. Like, I mean, it's so mad that you could go to work wearing clothes and people are still like, huh, tits. But sure, look, I've got nice tits. I mean, I don't mind a few of them. That's, you know, validating. But you start seeing yourself through the comments then, and it's just like, it just gets a bit weird. Some of them are really nice. I'm sure that I'm missing out on some really nice ones, you know. And I do, the support that I get from fans is so wonderful. So I'm not like shitting on that. I don't want to shit on people that watch Try. Like, the fans are so great, you know.
No, and
I did a few of them. Yeah.
And then
what happened, Alison?
Well, what kind of happened was, I looked at the comments and I was like, I'm done. There was one where
it's horrible.
They're calling me like land whale. There was like actively angry of me because I was fat. Like,
God,
it was crazy.
Yeah. Angry but, as well. Yeah,
oh,
that's
just
that's
so
the
mad.
What
the fat person on my television?
It really affects their lives, apparently. Do you know? And they just can't deal with it, and they can't hack it. And then, like, you know, if someone did see me getting upset, being like, why are you talking about my tits or whatever, they'd be like, well, you're on the internet. You're free to. It's like, okay, I'm on the internet. I'm not free for you to take out the fact that your mother didn't hug you enough as a child.
Yeah, you know.
That's not my job. Like,
it just seems that I was just like, that's not for me. Do you know that type of thing?
Yeah.
And it was grand. And like, but
you should do it again though. Just don't read the comments.
They're fun to do.
I did a
parody of it as well.
Yeah, I know. Like, I remember
Americans
that.
Try gun control.
That was so funny.
I thought it was so funny.
It was.
I was like, ah. So like, but I watch a lot of, like, I used to not watch YouTube a lot. I used to watch television. And
what is that?
But maybe the past 2 years of really, maybe about 50% of my entertainment is YouTube. So I go Gourmet Test Kitchen. That's like a big thing for me.
Never watched. Sounds great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's the Bon Appetit Gourmet Test Kitchen. And it's just this lady called Claire who has to make gourmet versions of Twixes or Doritos. It takes her days and she gets frustrated. But I watch it because I like Claire now. Uh-huh. And I'm invested in Claire.
Yeah.
And I'm invested in Claire's work environment and like Chris, all these different people that pop in. And like, so before I was kind of going, is this people just eating shit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, it's not about that. They're invested in the people.
Yeah, people do. Like, they really like, they come back for, you know, especially.
So I respect it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, me too. And people do come back because they want to know. And that's the same with me. Anything that I watch on YouTube. Like, I mean, I love Jake
and Amir.
What
do you watch?
Jake and Amir, do you know them?
No, I don't. I've heard of them. Weren't they like, they're super big. Did they do Vodafone?
I love them. Yeah, they did Vodafone three years ago. Davey and George got me tickets to go see them because they knew that I loved them. So I went both days to their shows. And I met Jake I met them both actually in Whelan's. And what was absolutely gas was Amir was shifting this girl that didn't know who they were, but she knew who I was.
That's funny.
She was like, I love you on YouTube. And they're like, are you joking?
Oh my God.
We're huge. But, and they've got like millions probably of subscribers. And they're gas. I love them. I met Jake and I went up to him and I was like, do you want a drink? Can I buy you a drink? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And he goes, I'll have a Jameson. And then he was coming to the bar with me and I don't know why I did this. Irish politeness. This is so stupid. He was coming to the bar with me and I turned around and I said, that's okay, you don't have to come. And he went, okay. So he didn't come to the bar with me. I went to the bar myself on my own and got Jake Hurwitz a Jameson and then brought it back to him. And then he was like, we're going to Coppers. And like, I'm sorry, unless you're Michael Fassbender, I am not going to Coppers for anybody. It really? Doesn't matter who
when
I'm
was right. The last time you were in Coppers?
I was still in college anyway.
Oy.
Yeah.
The biggest memory, the most visceral memory I have from it is like being hit by mop water. And like,
oh my God,
being beside someone that's getting fingered and you can just feel the flex of liquid go against your calves or your legs. And you're like, what is that? And then you see someone of a mop and you're like, thank you.
That's so visceral as well.
Yeah.
Holy shit. No. I've slapped so many men in the face in Coppers.
Have you?
Yeah. Because it's that, you just go get groped. That's what I said to him. He was like, we're going to Coppers. I was like, I'm not going to Coppers. He goes, I love Coppers. I was there. I don't like being groped. And he goes, I do. So he went.
Yeah.
But, and that's the story of how I almost married Jake Hurwitz. He is married now. I'm sure he was like with his wife and everything. But yeah, so like I love Jake and Amir. And that's exactly it, is that when a friend of mine, Michael, showed me Jake and Amir, and the first time that I watched their videos, I was like, what is this? This is nonsense.
Yeah.
This is terrible nonsense. And then I watched like two or three more and now I'm fully invested in the characters, you know? And I just love them. I do. Like, I watch every... I pay for their Patreon.
Wow!
I love them.
Holy shit. How many Patreons do you pay for?
I have to cancel that. Just the one.
I don't know. They don't need it.
Yeah, I don't know where they got me. Like, I think I just wanted more content, but then I haven't been really listening to it because, like, I mainly listen to podcasts when I'm either... I only listen to podcasts. I don't listen to music or anything. It's always when I'm like on my way somewhere or doing like getting dressed or something or in the shower.
Right. So what do you listen to?
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
So many. Throwing Shade is a great one. That's I love their tagline is we discuss all the matters important to queer people and or to ladies and gays and treat them with much less respect than they deserve. So it's just a comedy podcast, but it's about like real serious stuff. That's great. The Guilty Feminist.
Yeah.
I love The Guilty Feminist. You've been on that loads as well.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Fair play to you as well. You did a guest host spot, didn't you?
Yeah. They're super, like, Deborah's super lovely.
She seems so nice.
Oh, she's so supportive and so nice and so, like, she's been really, really kind to me.
I love The Guilty Feminist.
And she's
great.
Really funny.
And she is. She's gas. And she's very, like, humble as well. She's very aware of the fact that she is a, like, white middle-class lady talking about feminism and how that applies to things and so on. So.
And it's so great to be on a show with, like, she's so accommodating to you being funny. So she'll look at you and she'll go, like, she'll stop the thing and go, Alison, I think you had something to say there.
Yeah.
I thought it. And I'm like... potatoes.
I'm Irish.
I do my comedy is very fake and Irish.
It is. I saw you yesterday, I was like, I love your stuff. It's so funny. You've got this very natural, sorry, this is turning into me interviewing you now.
No,
you've got this like really natural charm where even when, because like one of my I hate when comics do like, oh sorry, where was I going, like don't let us in, don't show us behind the, you know, don't break the fourth wall. But when you do it, it's absolutely gas. You've got this like natural charm where you're like, sorry, where was I going, oh yeah, all right, grand. And like, it does feel like you're just having a chat with you, and
that's
so
what
you're
I
so
want.
Good
that's
you're so
very
good.
Nice that, you're, thank you. I'm trying to take compliments when not going do you know,
yeah,
because normally
it's a hard skill though.
Mate, because the way I take confidence is basically going, but did you know that also I'm very problematic?
Yeah.
I was homophobic when I was 14.
I made a really problematic tweet about rape when I was like 15.
Yeah.
I'll never get over it.
Do you
want to
have a look at it?
Yeah.
Now tell me.
Yeah. I'll never be the pinnacle of the feminism that I want to be.
Stop. I'm always like, I bitched about comedians, female comedians that I was jealous of because I saw us as direct competition.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But we have to, this is the thing, like my fringe show, I'm going to have to take inspiration from Deborah Frances White, because my fringe show is going to be about intersectional feminism, and I have to be very aware that I am a white.
Yeah. What's the fringe show, by
like
the way?
Like this woman. So my fringe show.
What's
my
it called?
Fringe show,
it's so natural.
It's
so good.
Yeah, I know. It's called Blah 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 with Special Guests.
Oh, your name. That's incredible.
I'll let you in on a secret. I hate the name.
Why? Who? Seriously.
It was Sahara's idea. The whole thing was Sahara's idea. Sahara's very, very invested in me being a star. I don't know. She's like more than my parents. She's like, she's my third parent. She's like, there's some friends for you. Here's some success. Yeah. But it's all like, it's her idea. She was like, you should do this. You're the perfect person to do it. It's the right time to do it, etc. So yeah, it's Blah 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 with Special Guests. I hate it. I just hate the nod to my name. I just feel is so tacky. But that said.
Is it going to be a podcast as well?
I am hoping, I don't want to jinx it.
But you should record it.
But I'm hoping, I will definitely record it. I'm hoping that we can make it, first of all, a regular show. If it goes well, a regular show on the Dublin scene. Record every episode and maybe have like kind of almost a TV kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. But I don't want to jinx that, so I want to take all that back.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't want any of that. I don't want that. But it's going to be a comedy panel show. So it's like discussion of like serious topics, but it's gonna be I'm gonna bring the gas, you know. So we're gonna get like experts in on different things. So for instance, like we'll have Sex Chuppa in on the night that we're talking about sex. So we'll, you know, discuss kind of like Ireland's attitudes towards sex, and we've got a porn researcher coming in as well, so we'll be able to talk to her. And so I'll kind of like steer. It'll start at I'll have 10 minutes of stand up at the top, just to kind of like ease people in, and so that I can do comedy because I want to. It's my show, so I'll do it if I want to. And then we'll have like a discussion. We might have like a little game, like some fun little interaction kind of things with the audience and so on. I'm really looking forward to it, but like I do have to be very, very aware. It's a show about intersectional feminism, so I have to be very, very aware of my privilege within that I'm the host and I'm a white woman that like grew up not wanting for much, and you know, that kind of thing. So I'm trying to make sure that the panel is as intersectional as possible. Unfortunately, it will just end up that there's some nights that are just gonna be, there won't be any token people. That's such a horrible way of putting it, but you know what I mean. Like, this is the mad thing, is that like when you're trying actively to make it intersectional, you do kind of feel like you're like, oh Jesus, I'm doing that now. I'm doing that thing that like that we used to give out about men doing, where they only put one woman on a lineup, and they're like, look, we've got one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Behold our one lady that we befriend.
Are you afraid of being cancelled?
No, I don't think so. No, because I'm very like, now I am.
Yeah, now that I've said
you
it like that.
You may be scared. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But I'm just thinking about it. And just
why?
Like,
what's going to happen?
No.
What am I going to say, Alison?
I have a fear of it. Like, yeah. It's just like, I don't mean it to say it like as if like,
no, the, you're right. No,
the people are bad, or do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to go, hey, I feel threatened by a thing, so therefore we should be against it.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, I'm just afraid of myself.
I think the reason that I'm not scared of being cancelled is because I think that if I did anything cancel worthy, that I genuinely would look at it and apologize. And that's like, And I'd mean it. Like, if I, but I don't see myself doing anything cancel worthy. I definitely see myself saying problematic shit all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everybody does. But cancel worthy, I don't know.
Yeah, cancel is a strong
word.
Like,
I'm not going to have a wank in front of anyone without their consent. Do you know what I mean?
That's not enough to get you cancelled.
I know, unfortunately, in this society, apparently not. Like, you were only sure I was listening to your podcast where you were talking about it with Ian Watkins, like your man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who were you talking about that with? It was so funny. But it was, she was like, that's mad that that's what it takes to get you cancelled. It has to be baby rape, like that.
Yeah, that's nothing.
There's no lower bar. Like, anyway.
There's a line. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if I did, genuinely, I really do think that I would apologise. And because I am able to apologise, like, when I've done something wrong.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, it sounds like I'm just like I'm a secret racist.
it sounds like you think I'm a secret
racist, it's just like when you're making the effort to be intersectional, like
100%,
I have fucked up with pronouns, but that's the Northern Ireland issue.
Yeah, but that's not like you're like that, there's no malice in that. You
yeah,
know, like you're not going, like you're not finding out that someone's pronoun is they, and then going, no, 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 you're a she. I insist.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
not
yeah.
doing that. You're just being like, oh, sorry, because like I still do that with my mate. My mate has like their pronoun is they, but I when I first met them,
yeah,
it was she, and so yeah. like every now and then I still say she. I think they still say she every now. Like they misgender themselves sometimes. You know what I mean?
It's like so weird, as in like
we have to be allowed to be fallible within this. Like, you know what I mean? We have to be allowed to be. We can't be. There's an element of cancel culture that I really hate, because there's no room for growth in that. If you're just like, no, 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 he's cancelled, we're never talking about that again.
Yeah, but there's some people that like the hard thing is like there's some people that apologize and then don't change anything about their behavior.
True.
And they still want the same amount of power they had before, but it's like,
when
you can't
were you
be
talking
trusted.
To my ex?
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking.
I am subtweeting someone very
yeah.
hard.
yeah. It's like you're taking direct quotes. No, I know. You're right. But like, yeah. I don't think, yeah, I think that if genuinely, I do think that if I was called out on something, I would apologize, I'd mean it, and I'd grow from it.
Yeah,
we have
yeah,
to be
yeah.
able to grow from it. Like,
is there anybody that you've forgiven?
Like in life, or
I mean generally.
I'm actually way too forgiving on a personal level. I'm very forgiving. My friends give me a really hard time over it, because they're like, you deserve so much more. You give so much to yourself, and I really do. And I'm very forgiving. Like, people can fuck up a lot before I'll start to, and especially like relationships and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Personally, I'm very forgiving. But to be honest, no. On a macro level, like, I'm still mad at Aziz Ansari. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel
it's
like
it's mad because I'm not as mad at him, but no, I'm madder at him for the after bit.
Yeah, I'm really mad at him for the after bit. I'm actually, although I'm mad at him for what happened, obviously.
Yeah.
What's crazy about that is that, like, that has happened to every woman.
Everyone.
Every single straight woman that has dated straight men.
Yeah.
Since the dawn of time has gone on a date where they decided that they wanted to stop, and then the date is like, no problem, we're stopping for a minute and then we're going to start again. It's happened to everybody. And that's the thing, is that I don't feel like he should be cancelled. I feel like he should grow from that and encourage other men to grow from it and be like, holy fuck, man, I did not know that I was doing this. I didn't realise. Like, just being like, I did not realise. That is so crap that women have to go through that all the time, and I contributed to it. Like, that's what I know that he does address it in his, because we were talking about it, myself and Aoife, on our podcast. Aoife's real mad at him.
She hates him.
But I know that he did address it in his new special.
Right.
So he addresses it in his new special, and it's like, okay, could you not have like put out a public service announcement so that people who didn't pay to see your show can see your apology?
Oh, I don't know.
Grow from it.
Do you? I get that, and I'm not. Jesus, I haven't seen it yet either. Yeah. But
it
I think
it's really
like
weird. It's a really weird apology. It's like a 5-year-old apologizing for stealing
it?
The cookies. Yeah.
Oy. I'll have to have a look. But it's like chatting to Jenna Friedman about stuff and just about comedy and about how like we get to say not that, I mean, I never do. I talk about fucking tales. So, but if I wanted to, but you can talk about ideas and about, you know, why something is wrong and be funny about it and stuff. And I can't wait for someone to do stand up where they go, I was inappropriate and this is why it was wrong and this is how we can avoid it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they could do it in a funny way.
100%.
They really could. If Nanette can be funny, and it is funny.
I know, yeah,
and it's
yeah,
dealing
yeah.
with the grimmest of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for someone brave enough
yeah.
to do it.
You're right. And I definitely agree. I'm a big advocate of, like, we are the best people to be getting your news from. Comedians are the best people to get your news from because we don't have to be objective.
Not
we
me.
Can say it how it is. Tato. Yeah. We can say it how it is. We can actually give you, like, and we don't have to fluff it up either. We don't have to be nice with our language. We can be like, hey, yo,
yeah,
this rape though, you know, like we yeah. can.
And we don't have to have someone pro-rape then go, well, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't have to have a balance or anything like that because it's yeah. our show and you're here to see us. And as well, and I do think because of that, because like people are like, people don't want to fucking watch the news these days. People don't, the world's on fire. People do not want to find out more about that. They're yeah. already sad about what they know.
Yeah.
And so if they go to a comedy gig, they're not expecting that they're going to learn something. So like, that's what I'm hoping for with my friend show, that people will come hoping for a laugh. They'll definitely get a laugh.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll come out and they'll be a little bit more woke.
Oh, where is that?
That kind of thing. It's in Drop Dead Twice upstairs.
Oh yeah, is that in
Francis Street?
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. And like, what's the set gonna be like? Are you?
We're gonna set it up like my living room.
Beautiful.
And basically, the objective of that is to make it less like a panel discussion show and more like we're just tipsy and bitching at my session, like, you know, just having a little bitch and giggle. Nice. But with the appropriate professional experts on the subject kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we're just going to kind of set it up as if like we've just come home from a party and we're all just bitching. Because that's what does happen. The inspiration for this is genuinely like my life just sitting around with my friends at sessions being like, the goddamn patriarchy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Which is, so yeah, that'll lend itself very, very well, I think.
Cool.
We will have to put in some fans. I keep telling people this, like, this is how logistically I'm thinking about this, because I know that that's a really, really hot room,
right?
So I'm gonna be
hand
like
fans.
I don't know
you can get them printed off if you
that's
got
idea.
It early enough, put your face on a fan.
Oh my
I've
God.
Got a Lizzo fan here and I spent a tenner on it and I was like, I don't care, I just want to give her money. I hope she gets all of the
yeah.
all of the margin, right?
Yeah.
But it's the best purchase I've ever bought,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I am in the tube. I am fanning myself
yeah.
all the time.
That's it's a incredible. Great idea.
Yeah, no, Yeesh. Seriously. You yeah. can keep that.
I want one. Oh my God, yeah, no, and I like we do have merch, because like the designer did such a good job on the poster that we are gonna like have badges and stuff like that. Watch this space.
Oh, that's amazing.
So yeah, fans are a great idea. Thank you.
I'm no, no
take
problem.
take that one straight to the bank. So I will.
I want an associate producer credit.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. We'll give you like a 1% margin or something.
And it was so lovely chatting to you. Seriously,
you too.
Thank
I could
you so
do
much.
This for hours.
I know, like, it was lovely. Yeah. It was lovely. I'll get you in again. I'll
yeah.
get you in again.
Please do.
Yeah, we get. This is a short one for the Dublin Fringe. Mm. So yeah. Go see Blanid's show and go see Blahin's show. Sorry, Jesus,
okay.
I call you Blanid
all the time.
I get called time. Alice.
Ash. Oh, ew.
Alice.
Like, Alice is a lovely name, but that's not
it
my
is.
Name, though.
I know. And or Aisling. Aisling's a big one. I think it's because I embody a lot of Irishness, and they're like, her name begins with an A.
Yeah.
It must be something incredibly Irish.
Yeah. And they'll just be lazy about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Blanid thing is just, you know, it's my lot in life. Like, it's my parents'
yeah,
fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, so go to our shows. I got Starlet. That's a play I've written. I would say it explores sexual politics in a very rural car. And then Alice's Spittle Mother of God. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait. And blah 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 with special guests.
Yay! Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, amazing.
Cheers.
Thank you very much to Blahin de Burka. Right, I'm going to very quickly go through some dates with you because we have to. So, I am doing the Dublin Fringe as well. I'm doing a stand-up special called Alison Spittle, Mother of God. And that's happening in the Chapel Royal in Dublin Castle. So I'm doing stand-up comedy in a church with a lot of the comedy involving my upbringing as a Catholic and Mary Mother of God because I wanted to play her in the school nativity play. So it's basically a show about how I didn't get the part of Mary in the school nativity play and how not to hold grudges. And then we move on to Starlet. Starlet is a play I wrote not that long ago. And it's my first ever play. And I'm very excited about it. I love it so much. Peter McGann, who wrote The Roaring Banshees, and he's in Republic Telly. And I've always really wanted to work with Peter. And I wrote this play, and I came to him straight away. And Roxana Nicolim, who you may have heard of on the podcast earlier this year, is amazing. And she plays a character called Shannon. And it's been one of the most joyful processes for me of writing and working with people. And I love theatre now. Now, and Simon Mulholland directs it, and he is the best. Come here, one more thing. Cork Comedy Festival is coming up on October 11th. That should be announced soon, but it's October the 11th, I'm telling you. Please come to the show. I'm going to get a class guest, and we're going to have a class time. Electric Picnic, Sunday, 2 o'clock at the podcast tent. I'm doing a podcast with someone who said yes but can't quite confirm, so I can't announce it yet. But that person's really good, and I'm really excited about it. So there we go. We got 2 live podcasts coming up: Cork Podcast Festival and Electric Picnic. And that's all my dates. I've told you about Blaheen's. I'll do the credits and then I'll talk to you about The Fringe. Thank you so much to Sarah Garvey, who makes the show. She's amazing. Thank you so much to Paddy and Alan from Head Stuff, who are very supportive. Thank you so much to Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club, who has a new album out. He made the theme music. It's very good. William Conway, my school friend, did my artwork, and I love it. And that's about it. I will chat to you soon. Have a lovely day. So, The Fringe, the Edinburgh Fringe. Congratulations to Jordan Brooks. I saw that show. It was really good. But especially to Catherine Cohen, who won Best Newcomer. She was on my podcast only a few weeks ago. I'm wrecked. I'm absolutely wrecked. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but I'm happy. I had a lovely Fringe. Thank you so much to the people that came to the show. It seemed to be a lot of Guilty Feminist listeners and a lot of Irish people, which I'm very happy with. I love that demographic. Yeah, I'm not able to talk about it. I'm just so tired and everything. You do so much in one day that all the days feel like weeks. I don't remember what I did yesterday. I'm not emotional, by the way. My throat is fecked. Just fecked from just shouting and hollering. And my agent said to me, vocal warm-ups, Alison, do vocal warm-ups. And I'm like, I'm just talking. Why do we need to do vocal warm-ups and not do an opera? He was right. I do. So I got 2 more shows that is to do. And I haven't drank all festival. I've been very good. But I have been out until 6 o'clock in the morning because I just like chatting to people. I love chatting. I'll let you go, do you know, because I'm not going to be able to chat properly. But I hope you're having a nice day wherever you are. And next episode, we're going to have a Starlet special. So I'm going to try and put together interviews with people just to talk about that show. Because I just want I want a record of it for me. Because, you know, in a year's time, I'll be trying to remember stuff about it. Like with Edinburgh, I should have kept a diary or something. That's why I did lots of Instagram stories, because I just want to look back at it in a year and go, I don't know what I've learned this year. I'd like to think I've learned something, but I won't know until a few months. I haven't read reviews. I know I got a 4-star off 1-4 review, and I'm delighted. And I know I got a 3-star off Chortle, but I didn't read it because I didn't think it would help me now. I'll read it in October or something like that. And it's probably fair. Yeah, depends on what day they come in. You just have to put it down. Look, people go mad over getting 3 stars, but I see getting a 3-star as like a neutral. It's neither good for me, nor will it help me. So I'm best off not thinking about it too much and putting my self-worth on stars. But saying that, thank you very much to One for a review. And it was a lovely review. Thank you. I've met so many nice people. Yeah, I'm going to let you go. But it's been wonderful. I've eaten the best fried chicken sandwiches out of a van. Okay, buddies, I'm going to go because I don't know whether this is good. Bye. Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.